All right, so what's your political statement you wanted to make?
Was I going to make one?
I got your email.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll read it back to you.
Sure.
Hey, Al. Something's been really sticking in my craw, which is kind of a weird phrase to use, by the way. So I have a political statement I want to make on the next show. It's a little bit racist and a whole lot sexist, but hey, you know me.
That sounds exactly like
me. So what was
me.
It? Fire away, buddy.
I'm sorry. I think that must have been spam.
Hello and welcome to episode 317 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is
Adam in Vancouver.
What's going on, Adam, in Vancouver? Or around the world, you can talk about it. I don't care.
My parts, it's pretty quiet.
Same here, man.
Yeah, not a lot going on.
It might be those January doldrums that we spoke of last week.
Yeah, it's cold, but not freezing the way it was, a month ago. So it's kind of blah. It's just, we're not getting the clear days. We're not getting a ton of rain. We're just getting that little bit of in between, that overcast stuff.
Yeah.
Super interesting.
It's cold here, actually. It was like really down minus 15 or something, and no fun. Except for we went skating, so that was nice. Again, we talked about last week. But we went again, yeah. But we'll talk about that in under the shoot. Anything interesting? I'll bring that up again.
I have sort of an interesting photography tidbit.
Well, this is a photography show.
Okay, so should I throw that in right now?
Amazon.
Okay, after that,
It's been crazy the amount of stuff that I'm getting on Amazon. It's like something comes every day now.
Really?
I have an addiction to stencils. I know.
Uh-oh.
I think I told you last time I couldn't find them, so I ordered a couple and they're approximately free.
Yeah.
And so I got a four pack of stencils for 50 cents.
Wow.
But then $1 to deliver.
Should open a stencil store.
I'm thinking about busting the pack up and selling them for 40 cents each.
Yeah,
pocketing
huge profit.
That 60 cents. Yeah, yeah. Probably what I'm going to do.
Okay,
because the dollar shipping is what I said. Oh no, so 10 cents. I get 10 cents on that. Point being, I got that. That came today. Ordered something else. Oh, playing cards, poker cards, buddy.
Like plastic ones.
I don't know. Just regular bicycle cards. Are those bad?
Well, I think the poker ones typically are the plastic ones so that they don't get wrecked when people bend them a bit.
Whatever. They're coming. I don't care.
Yours are getting wrecked. Don't call them poker cards then.
Okay. I will play poker with them.
Yeah, okay.
So there's that. I apparently, because I've had poker chips sitting here, the guys, you know, most of the friends that I've railed against, the husbands of my wife's friends.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a mouthful. I tried to get a poker game going like a couple years ago. Like, my wife bought me poker chips for Christmas. Like, I have some in Canada, but you don't pack those. Why would you? It just takes up, you know, a ton of weight in your bag.
Right.
So she just bought me some here. Hey, that way you can maybe have some friends here, loser. And turns out, no. So try to get a game going. Play with them once, and then the guys are like, yeah, we don't really like card games.
They prefer charades?
They prefer cheese fondue, if you listen back.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was the end of that. But now the guys on the ball team, they all want to get poker night going, so I'm jazzed about that. Had to order some cards. You can't really buy cards here.
Really?
Apparently. Hard to find.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the Amazon. Point is, keep clicking through our site. We appreciate it. It keeps things moving along here. And, that's it.
Okay, all right.
What's your tidbit for the kids?
Well, I was over at a friend's house on the weekend, and my wife and I, sort of a couple's get-together night, just us and another couple, and I had taken some family photos for this couple, I don't know, I want to say October, something like mm-hmm. that. And, you know, I'd sort of been in their house and commented on, they have very, very cute kids, young family, on the fact that really they didn't have anything in the way of a family photo. And so I offered to do this for them.
Hey, I know a guy.
Yeah. And so, I mean, they had nice wedding photos, and a lot of the stuff that's on their walls are of their sort of wedding photos, which are really well done. But it's their kids are now sort of like, one is, I think, kindergarten, and one is, you know, 2 years younger. So their family is, you know, well formed to the point where I was surprised they didn't have a family portrait. And so I offered to do this, and we went down to Gary Point, and I took a family photo. And they had it framed and up on the wall, and it was sort of a centerpiece of they had recently had a few other photos from weddings that they'd been to, so some other group photos with family and professionally done, and they were really good. And the centerpiece of this kind of wall of, let's say, 5 or 6 photos, and they're all big enlargements, I want to say 12 by 16, I think, is the size. But the centerpiece was this family photo I'd taken down in Steveston. And I liked the photo, the version that I had taken and the version that I had edited, but the print version was much too dark on their faces. So, you know, we've talked about printing in the past, and it's a little bit of a crapshoot when you have, you know, darks and lights, and, you know, you edit it, but then you generally have to kind of leave it up to the printing place because you don't know if your monitor calibration is the same as their color profiling and blah, blah, blah. But anyways, turns out I was really disappointed in the quality of the print. Like, I knew what this image looked like, and I was not happy with the print. And I was happy with the fact that they made it the centerpiece of this big family wall, like in their living room. So the whole room points towards this.
Right.
And faces were far too dark. So, you know, I'm looking at it and going like, I don't know what you would do here, but I can't leave that. So I said, yeah, I'm going to redo that. That's not good enough. I'm happy you guys put it in a prominent spot, but compared to the two enlargements on either side, which are perfectly in color and exposed and nice faces, this one doesn't fit. It's not up to par.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if you've come across this in someone else's house, but I went home the next day, redid the whole image. Basically, if you've ever done this, took the image, realized where they were, like the photo place could get it wrong, and basically made a composite of two photos, redid the foreground with their faces exactly perfectly how I wanted it, and then, you know, basically in Photoshop used the background and underexposed it to bring it down to make it darker. And then I knew there was no way that the printing place could mess this up. Redid it, print looks perfect. Now, it's way too much hassle that I would probably never do that again for your average photo. Mm-hmm. But for the sake of making this the centerpiece of someone's enlargement on their wall and not having it be the way I want, that's the process. First time I've ever done that.
Who did the print?
It was London Drugs.
Yeah, okay.
Their choice. It was their choice, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing is, I redid it at London Drugs just from a convenience standpoint, because I wasn't going to have time to get to another place.
Mm-hmm.
And again, second version was perfect to what I wanted. But again, I sort of made it that way.
I hate having to correct for that.
Yeah.
That I do a lot of that just in life, where you try to overcorrect for what someone else is going to do.
Exactly.
And it happens a lot with the newspaper here, because they, like, after game days, the sports guy usually phones me and interviews me about the game, and he likes to, for some reason, write things rather negatively. Like, I don't know what it is. It's a German thing that people tell me. It's a German thing. It's a Swabian thing. I don't know what it is. But he just likes
to...
So
you only went 3 for 4, and that, what happened on that other time?
I wish it was that. No. But it's really, without going into great detail, the guy just likes to write very negative reviews, or not reviews, stories about our team. And so, I don't, you know, I understand there's negative, you know, I don't mind being the, you know, talking about the loss and stuff like that. But I always overcorrect so far to the positive. Like, I pick out the tiny little positive things and hammer those, just so when he corrects to negative, it comes down the middle.
Okay.
So I know exactly what you're talking about photo-wise, and I'm tired of doing it.
Yeah. And I as I was explaining to them, I said, you know, 8 out of 10 times they would get this print right. But this is the, you know, the 2 out of 10. And as soon as they started looking at it and things I was pointing out, they're like, yeah, you're right. It's not as good as the ones on
either side. So what is
it?
I mean, the because I noticed, I've had that happen a few times, which is why I get a little bit nervous when I'm getting a quote-unquote high-dollar item printed. Where, you know, like, well, you guys, remember you, I shot that thing for your family, like your combined families, that you guys got done on the, I don't even know the German word, the canvas.
Yeah.
And, it, well, they messed the first one up, didn't they?
No, I think it was just they tore a corner or something. Okay. It wasn't a printing quality thing. Yeah.
It's something like that where I was very, very careful to make sure the saturation was nice and tight, like really good, because you guys wore red shirts, it was a blue sky. Like it was, I was very careful with that. But even so, I was worried that they were going to, you know, print it too dark. And when you get that done, it's all of a sudden it's a $45 or $60 item.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more involved, but they tend to get that right. So do they pay more attention on those?
I don't know. I don't know how this works. And yeah, it's just now I'm thinking about all the, because for the most part, the way, and this is partly maybe why some photographers control the printing themselves, because now I'm thinking about, you know, weddings and all the nice portraiture that I've done for people that I've never actually seen what their prints like and seen them hang on their walls. And now it makes me think, oh dear, how many other prints of mine are out there that just aren't up to snuff or aren't what I would have wanted. And this one, I just, again, I on my own accord, I just took it upon myself. I said, I'm going to redo that for you. I re-edited the image. I went and did the print myself because I wasn't going to hand it over unless it was what I wanted. And and then we'll just deliver it back to them saying, here you go, because now I love the new version.
And did they invite you back to the house or they're a little bit freaked out?
No, I think they'll be good.
A little freaked out by Adam's...
No, they just they kind of know that, yeah, that's just who I am, and I think that's a good quality. I had just kind of turned a blind eye to that and let that be. I mean, I think people that go over there and look at it, it just would think, it's a nice family photo, a little bit dark, and you know, again, I think it's in stark contrast to the perfectly exposed photos beside it. So that was part of it too. It's like I don't want to be the inferior photographer here. My I got the centerpiece here. I want mine to stand out. Yeah,
of course. Remind me now. Well, I'm not going to tell it now. Remind me next time. I'll tell you my other London drug story from a little while ago.
Okay.
While we're
recent.
Yeah. Yep. November. But I'll next time. We'll talk about it next time. All right. So did you shoot anything? That was you already shot that. But did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Not particularly, just photo challenge. That was the crux. Oh, I did shoot some street hockey. My dad and my son outside playing some street hockey. My son had was going to be goalie this week, so we had the goalie gear. I mean, we have street hockey gear, but he also had the ice hockey goalie gear. So we put all the upper body goalie gear equipment on him so that he could practice outside as a tune-up for his appearance in goal for his game on the following day. So I took a few photos of that, and I actually used an umbrella. I mean, it was a bit of an overcast day. I didn't need an umbrella, but this wasn't my photo challenge, but I threw it on there just to kind of play around, and I thought, oh, if I get something outstanding, then, you know, I might use it as a photo challenge. But it's sort of, again, him, he's got a goalie mask on, so the nice thing about, you know, shooting outside high speed sync in this scenario is I could do high speed sync, still get enough light, but because it's such a soft light with the umbrella, if you're going to use flash and someone's wearing a helmet that's got a mask on it, it's almost not even noticeable the shadows, because if you use hard light, you're going to get harsh shadows from the mask going with the flash through the mask. You're going to get big lines on the face, which maybe you like, but I mean, is a little bit off-putting to me. So with the umbrella at close range, you get a nice soft light. It looks really good in terms of you can see his face clearly through the mask, but you just get the very faint shadows from the mask instead of the harsh ones. So
nice.
I kind of like that. I will post a few of those photos.
Nice.
Yeah, that's about it.
We had the opportunity to skate on a real-life pond.
Okay.
That was our. It was very, I put a couple photos up there. I just picked three kind of photos from the day. Yeah, it was getting cold, but it doesn't really get that cold sustained here where you can say, all right, yeah, this month we're going to go skating. But there's a like a little pond. They call it a lake. It's called a lake here, but it's kind of in between. It's bigger than a pond, smaller than a lake, especially Lake Okanagan. Smaller than that.
Okay.
In town, like so it's pretty much right, almost in the downtown area, the old town, and so it finally froze over, and I said that's it. Was it Monday after school? Wife got home. I said, get in the car. Boom, we're going skating on a real pond. Very excited.
Okay.
So we get out there, tons of people. It was really quite cool. It had frozen a little bit, not enough to skate on, while it was still snowing, and so there was still a lot of snow on the top. But people had cleared off big patches, and that was it. People were everywhere. People were skating. It was really great to see. So it was pretty awesome. And when we were there, it was sort of in the later evening as the sun was going down. Nice clear day, and so we had really nice, great light. Like, you can see the picture of my daughter and I. That's not tuned up. That's pretty much out of camera. She's that nice golden sun on us, and then, you know, the old town around and people and whatnot. So really just love the colors. Dad even brought us kids out with hockey sticks, which is, they're hard to find here.
Yeah.
And so that was pretty cool. It was just really, my kids thought it was awesome. Like, my daughter, she's really into it now. Like, she kind of turned the corner and is really loving it. Doesn't need the little push thing, you know, the cage.
The walker, the ice skating walker.
Well, it's actually here in well, the place we go, you have a choice of three different things. You have to rent them. You can't just use them on the ice. Like, they don't throw them out there. You have to rent them. It's $1 an hour or €1 an hour. It's either a chair, so like my son can sit in it while my daughter pushes him around.
Right.
Or they have a little penguin, like an upright penguin, or they have a big giant seal that the kids can sit on while you push them around. It's kind of fun. So she doesn't really need that anymore. So that's exciting. But my son was a little tired. He just wanted kind of a little break. He wasn't as into it as my daughter was. But okay. As excited as they were, I don't think they have any idea how excited I was to get out there with them. It was a pretty big moment for a Canadian dad to take his kids out on the pond. So he snapped a few photos. Skating etiquette, though. Bit of a mess. Got to have a little talk with some of the locals. Dogs on the ice. Didn't need that.
But they're service dogs.
My wife said it was a lady. Either way, someone pulling their kid around on a sled. Which, now if you look at the wide photo, or you look at any of them, you can see that there's areas that are cleared off, and then there's a whole bunch of snow areas.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a few, you know, small areas cleared off to skate on, and the rest you could just you could still walk on. It's still ice underneath, but no one was skating there.
Right.
But yet the person with the sled decided, as they saw fit, to take their kid onto that skating part and just drag him around on the sled. Which I thought, come on now. People running around in their shoes. Guy rode his bike across. Thought, geez, what are we doing here, guys? Why don't you? Yeah. But the kicker, and this was the kicker, is there's some kid, like, I say kid, like 16, 17, comes running across the whole, like, the lake, yelling his head off. And it turns out he was yelling at me. And said, hey, like, basically in German, hey, can I use your skates? I said, pardon? Like, what, you want to use my skates? Yeah, I want to try your skates.
Yeah, that's weird.
No, I said no. Well, what do you mean? He's like, here, you can wear my boots. That's not the issue, is it? So I told him to beat it. Then he asked if I could hockey stop, and I was like, yeah.
How old of a guy are we talking about?
Like 16.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
that's weird.
There's that. And then I read in the paper that somebody fell through that day.
Oh, no.
Well, there's one spot at, like, it's pretty decent size lake. And the one in the sunset shot, you can see it's a decent size. It's a decent size lake. But off in the back, there's a little building. And that's where there's a little area where, like, actually a creek runs out and runs into the Neckar River. And so that little area, just that bit, is still kind of running, technically running water, and thus it's very, very thin. So you don't skate there.
Yeah.
Well, that one guy did.
Oh, no.
And then went in there. It was not super deep, pretty sure he lived, but my wife was freaked out the whole time. Do we have a plan if the kids go in? No, it's fine. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So, good times anyways. Not quite Zamboni and Vernon, but still good times.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. And last thing before I move on to the photo challenge, did you read the article I shared about the artist, the guy who's photoshopping people at the Holocaust Memorial in Berlin?
No.
You did not read that? Oh, man.
No.
Brilliant. It's just, I probably not going to get fired up, but if you hadn't read it, I can't get fired up now.
Okay.
Basically, what we, you know, what
where did you post it on Facebook or something?
Yeah, that's the Two Hosers. I posted it.
Oh, so like the website?
No, on the Two Hosers Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah,
no, I haven't been on there.
Anyways, basically, what's going on is this dude lives in Berlin, which you heard of.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, and so this big the big Holocaust memorial is this amazing art installation, sort of near like. Not too far from the Brandenburg Gate, and it's these massive cement blocks that are in like a giant grid. They're all different heights, and like it is really an amazing thing to see. But for some reason, people have taken to, you know, photographing themselves, like selfies and really, really, really inappropriate photos, which we've talked about before. But you don't do that at, you know, you don't go to Dachau and take selfies. You don't go to the 9/11 memorial, the Twin Towers site. You don't take your photo there. You don't do those things. So what this guy did was he basically finds these, I guess he finds them online, and photoshops out the background. It photoshops the actual Holocaust in there.
Oh no!
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I wish I'd thought of it.
Oh no!
And he calls it the YOLOcost. Like you only live once, YOLO.
Yeah.
The Holocaust Project. And he said, not loving it?
No.
Oh boy. I was really just poking fun at these people because it strikes a chord with me because I see these people a lot of places and just think, what you doing?
Yeah.
So this guy's calling him out on it, so check it out.
Okay, well,
not as happy. Or who are you upset at? The people or the artist?
Everybody.
Everybody. Fair enough. All right. Well, that's the feel good story of the week right there.
Yeah.
All right. Photo challenge for this week was in the honor of Steve Seek's Flash Part 2, which will be airing Part 3 today. Wrap that series up. It was Umbrella, to shoot through an umbrella. So, I think I went first last week. Let's have a look at yours. Now, is this the guy whose photo you redid?
Yes. Well, it was his family, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So, we were at his house for, like, a games night, and I said, I just happened to bring my umbrella and an off-camera flash, and said, can we take a portrait? And he agreed, and so he's just sitting sort of in a chair in his living room, very close. Right behind him is the wall, the photo wall, just camera right would be the photo wall. And just one umbrella in shoot through umbrella to camera right. And then I actually cheated here. Well, it's not cheating, but I added a reflector on the other side just to fill it in so that it wasn't too stark of a contrast. I thought... This is still one flash through an umbrella, but just again balance. I could have used the wall to camera left, brought him really close, and used the wall as the balance. Mm-hmm. But I just thought, oh, let's see what the reflector does, and so that's it. This was the thinker pose. I kind of in my mind had the idea of what you had done previously with the sort of jokey photo that you know, get printed out and sign your autograph to and hand it to friends for birthdays. This is kind of what I had in mind. I thought I'm going to take a photo for him that he can hand out as a joke present. And I mentioned it to him in an email afterwards that, here's a use for this photo if you like, for a family birthday or something. So that's it.
Did you black and make it black and white and add his name on it and stuff? The full?
No, I didn't, but I thought he could actually magic marker and sign his name to it.
Oh, you did both.
Yeah, I did look at this photo in black and white, and something about the shirt and the red that I kind of liked it better in color than I liked it in black and white. So that's why you're seeing the color here. But yeah, yes. Typically that photo that you would hand out would be black and white.
Yeah. Black and white makes it, when you hand it out for the joke, makes it a little more pretentious. And you do want that pretension. And actually adding the name photoshopped on the bottom, in addition to the autograph, adds another level of pretension.
Okay.
So you definitely want to do that. And
I'll do that.
Don't be afraid to add a middle initial, as I do for some people. Like, I haven't done for mine, I didn't, but every once in a while, I'll throw in a middle initial in there just because it's awesome.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Do it.
Just make it up.
Great. Well, yeah. Or find out what his middle name is. So this was at night, games night?
This is games night.
It's very, very bright in there. Is this all lit by the flash?
Yeah.
Even the background. So you had it angled, rather than feather it in front, did you have it feathered behind?
Yes. I had it feathered slightly behind, and then I also had the reflector all in a pretty tight little square. So part of that is, you see it's slightly, there's a little bit of a gradient. So camera left in the back corner on the wall is slightly darker than the wall camera right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's because, again, just like his face, the bounce didn't quite have enough to make it exactly the same. But that's just because we're in that little square of an area. And the flash is up fairly high, feathered in behind, and then mixed with the reflector.
Got it.
Yeah.
Oh, looks good, and also very simple. So that's
very simple, very, very simple.
Kind of getting at with the umbrella light. All right, let's have a look at mine. It's the super wide one. I posted two. I'll explain in a sec. But it's the super wide one. Also, using a couch. I say using a couch because I'm assuming that's the couch in behind your subject there.
Oh, it's just like, you know, one of those, I don't know, fancy adult sitting chairs.
But right.
Material like a couch, yeah.
Gotcha. So here's my daughter.
So yours is the funny? Is that the one?
No. That's the other one.
Okay, so it's... Okay, I gotcha. The super wide one. Gotcha.
So yeah, so I was trying to do something a little bit different, but also kind of play within the rules. I knew there, you know, would be no fill. That wasn't the plan. I didn't want to do something too straight on. I kind of wanted to be artsy a little bit, and but stick with just the one light source. And so that's why it's a little high contrasty. But you can see the light in her face is still a soft light. That's the kind of thing you get from an umbrella. It would be much, much different if it was just a bare flash. That's about it. I feathered mine in front. I kind of wanted it to drop off into darkness. That was the plan.
Gotcha. That's good. Yeah. It just looks slightly underexposed, but I don't know if that's me or not.
It's our monitor because yours looks slightly overexposed on mine. Okay. And so I'm guessing that's just the difference in the monitors.
Yeah. Okay. No, it looks good. And she's got, you know, that sort of cute half smile.
This was the test shot, actually. The rest of the ones were a complete waste of time. I snapped about five or six more, and it was cold. Daddy, I want to go upstairs.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I like sort of the you know, the shapes of the background. You know, you got the vertical blinds kind of, you know, in one part of the frame, and then you've got the rectangular shape of the couch, and then you've got the sort of darkness in behind that all kind of makes for sort of a neat geometrical design in behind her. So I like that.
That's very atypical of how I shoot, especially down in this room. Those aren't blinds, that actually, not that it matters. It's actually the heater, radiator, but for all, who cares? In this case, I knew it would show up kind of underexposed. It's bright white, but it's far enough in the background that the light's going to fall off and just kind of show up, you know, that color. And I purposely included that. And same with, you know, I thought, okay, if I use the edge of the couch just like this, I can create those geometric shapes, place her face, you know, in the dark spot, and we're off.
Right.
And that took very little time. So, but that's the kind of thing, like, that was more so, nothing to do with the flash and how we're shooting this photo. This was more about composition, but I wanted to kind of bring a little something extra to this photo. But after I wasn't certain that we got it, that I had something I could share, and so I said, oh geez. So she wanted to go back upstairs, and I said, oh, let's go back up to your room where you have purple walls, and we'll shoot another one just using a different color wall, which kind of doesn't really show up as purple, does it?
I don't know. I don't have it
in the funny one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, it doesn't. It doesn't show up as, it's still kind of, to me, on my monitor, it's still kind of a like a gray-y color.
Right.
Gray.
I guess just because it falls off too much. I didn't, you know, I kind of didn't want her too close to the background. But she was making these funny faces. So all I wanted her to do was look at the camera and sort of half smile. And she decided to make funny faces. And then she saw it and said, well, you have to show Sam because he might laugh. So, all right, well, okay. I'll also bore all of our listeners with it too then.
Okay.
So there you go.
Did Sam laugh?
He hasn't seen it yet.
Okay.
I took it this afternoon while he was out.
Okay, keep us posted.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll laugh. He laughs at everything.
Okay.
He's a laugher, so. There you go. That's the simplicity of shooting with the shoot-through umbrella. And probably when you first got yours, it probably, I wouldn't say it's the most simple thing in the whole world. Like, there's a bit of a learning curve.
Yes.
That goes with it. So, you know, we'll talk a little bit more with Steve about that. Not today, but today part three is, you know, part one is we kind of assessed, you know, what his needs are. Part two, bought him some gear, figured out what he needs to buy. And part three now is to get him down the road to using it.
Okay.
And so without further ado, here's part three of Steve Seeks Flash.
I'm the AV mode guy right now.
Okay. Why is that?
Well, that was your last tip to me when I was pre-manual. Because what does it allow you to do? Get to know, I don't need to deal with, well, I do change the ISO. My f-stops, playing around with those without having to deal with, you're quizzing me. It's been too long since I picked the thing up. Basically a simplified version of manual. What does it take away?
It'll sort out the shutter speed for you.
Shutter speed, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So you dial in the ISO, you dial in the aperture that you want, and it just says, all right, I'll take that info, and I'll just assign the proper shutter speed.
Yes.
That's what it does.
Yep.
Now, that's going to go away, because when you shoot with flash, now you can do that with flash, because there's all kinds of different ways we can use that flash. We can use it to fill. I mean, we can use it, but this is where it gets confusing, and I don't want to confuse everything at the beginning. I don't want to confuse you with all the different things that the possibilities when you're starting out.
Good.
Because, I mean, and that's why I told you to buy this flash specifically, because there are more expensive flashes out there that can add a whole bunch of new features and thus confusion. And I think my recommendation for most people is don't worry too much about that. At this price, at $60 for the flash, don't get the one that'll handle off-camera ETTL with a high-speed sync. Don't bother.
Mm.
Buy the $60 one, get really good at using it, and then if you feel that you need off-camera high-speed sync, P.S., you don't, then go ahead and buy that. Now you have two flashes. Now you can add on, and now you're starting to build your package.
It's a good way of learning as well. Applying that to teaching guitar, mm-hmm. I think it's intimidating. Too much information, too much gadgets, too much coming at you. Even though it's exciting, it's overwhelming, intimidating, and learning a basic song, for instance, it inspires you and you just get hungry and you add to that. So...
So if I'm brand new, I don't know how to play the guitar at all. I show up at your place and I say, all right, here I am. I want to learn how to play this. It's 12-string double neck with a whammy bar and a wah-wah pedal, and I want to play. How do I start?
Well, I would recommend instead of getting into a bunch of scales and things that are just theory and overwhelming, is pick your favorite song. Pick a song you love, and I would teach you a simplified version of that.
And hopefully you would take the double neck 12 string out of my hand.
I would.
And say,
sorry, missed that part. Here's a ukulele.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, no.
Hey, listen, I don't care. I just want to play the beginning of Over the Hills and Far Away, okay? All parts. I'll play all parts of it at once.
Smoke on the Water is your standard starter.
Before we sign off, what we're going to do is basically figure out where you need to be on your manual exposure, because that's what you have to do. In order to get good at off-camera flash and on-camera flash, I shoot everything in manual exposure. I mean, I do generally, for the 99% of the time, I shoot manual in regular life. Like, I don't mess around with the AV mode very often. But when I'm shooting with flash, it's 100% of the time.
Okay.
Because I want to put myself in a decent enough position, and then I let the flash do the automatic. I don't do full manual flash. I do manual camera, auto flash. Got it?
So let me get this straight again. If you're taking the flash off camera,
yes.
Don't you take away the automatic element of that?
In your case, you absolutely will. Now we're going to have to do some learning. But for on-camera flash, it's going to be automatic.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah, but off-camera, you don't need it. You're not going to need it. Especially at the beginning, you will not need automated. Better to not have auto features. Better to learn how the manual works and then add that back in later.
Gotcha.
Okay? So when I'm shooting with a flash, I do everything in manual on the camera and then let the flash handle the auto features on the camera. That's how the on-camera flash works.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to consider what is the maximum sync speed of your camera with a flash. That's something you'll need to find out. Now, you did find out. You told me it was 1/200th of a second.
Mm-hmm.
Now, essentially, real quick, what that means is the curtains of your shutter open and close to get an exposure. And while that happens, the flash goes off and exposes the image. Now, if you go too fast, the shutter will close before the flash can fire and cover the whole photo.
Right.
So you have a maximum that you can go to. Well, that's going to be kind of limiting, because when you're running around, if you're on AV mode outside, let's say you're outside on a sunny day, and you're shooting at an f/2.8 on the ISO of, say, 320, your shutter speed is going to be like through the roof.
Millisecond.
Well, probably 1/8,000th of a second at that point.
Right.
No way a flash is going to work. So now you have to, on manual exposure, you have to figure out a way to get your exposure to be 1/200th of a second. And that's going to mean dialing your ISO down to 100, your aperture to f/11, and then you're probably going to come in at 1/200th of a second. Now, that's not a good time to use the flash anyways, but in and around the house, you're going to want to figure out, and you're going to want to get comfortable with what gives me a shutter speed of 1/200th of a second. How do I achieve that? What has to change to the other parameters, the aperture, the ISO, in order to make sure I stay under 1/200th of a second?
Okay, so I'd be setting the shutter speed first and working around that.
Sort of. You wouldn't set it first, but you would, because it can be 1/100th of a second.
Right.
As long as it doesn't go over.
A checking in thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to make sure you don't want it to be too slow that you're going to have camera shake at like one 1/10th of a second. You're going to move the camera.
Right.
So with that 50mm lens, you're probably going to want to come in at around, 1/80th to 1/200th of a second if you're going to hand hold it. So that's you kind of have to be aware of where your shutter speed's going to fall within there. So you're going to want to go and practice taking manual photos. manual exposure mm-hmm. photos that you're going to add flash to later, because you want to get comfortable yeah. with that and then add that in when your stuff arrives in 3 days.
Okay, so what would you, indoor, no outdoor light, just mm-hmm. natural, well, pretty medium low light mm-hmm. indoor. What are some parameters for setting up in manual?
There's a lot of variables there, but basically what I would say to you is set your ISO at ISO 800. Mm-hmm. Put your 50 mil lens on there, set it to f/2.8. And then dial in whatever shutter speed corresponds. Like the metering will be on the in the viewfinder. You'll just basically crank the shutter speed until that little arrow's in the middle, and mm-hmm. that's going to be your exposure. And then fire away. Okay. So you're going to find that what you want is probably within that range for a decent exposure.
Okay.
Of course, when we add
and
light,
that,
go ahead.
Right. Yeah. No, that was my next question. When adding the flash, what changes there?
Now all of a sudden, in this situation, the bulk of your exposure is going to come from that flash. You're probably going to kill the ambient light,
right?
So you're not going to care. So now all of a sudden, you can shoot at ISO 100 at an f/4, and all your light's going to come from that flash, and we'll control the output of that. But that's going to come later,
right?
What I want you to do before then is just get very comfortable using the manual exposure. So that later on, you know what effect it has on your image.
Gotcha.
That's
all
it.
Right.
That was easy, huh?
Nice. That's a lot of downloading, but that's good. It gives me some homework to do, and yeah.
Good.
That's baby steps. I like it.
And that's how you build your home studio, and it goes from there. It's, put it this way, it's simple, but it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I need to know. All right, Steve, we're going to check in with you once this stuff comes in. And we'll
play
with it, and we'll talk about taking pictures of the kid.
Liam. You forgot his name. Come on.
No, I'll let you hand it out on the air.
Yeah, no, all right. I look forward to it. We'll catch up in the next time then.
And we're back.
Riveting.
Was that the advice you would have given, probably?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Did you see the album art from last week?
I did.
Yeah. Classic Connolly.
I hope you've got like the best saved for last.
No, I thought this one we would do something a little nicer.
Oh,
should
really?
We? Should I go?
No,
should I keep continue
no.
to embarrass him
pile
or do something?
On, pile on. No, don't. Yeah, at this point, you know, you've gone down that road.
I think maybe we'll save it for part four, but it's not going to be part four. But there'll be something else. We'll check in with Steve again and see check his progress. But no, this week will be a little bit nicer, I think.
Okay, all right.
That's how we do, you know.
Okay, yeah.
Challenge for next week. It is our monthly challenge. We'll go over next show. We will talk about January's monthly challenge, which was black and white.
Hooray!
Hooray! Finally gonna see it. So I've been checking. There's been a few posted on the Instagram. It's slowly building. The Instagram's building. I don't know how many followers we have now. 11 or something.
It's doing sweet.
Doing well. No, it's more than that. But we're gonna work and try to build that up. And
I still don't know how to use it, so I have an account. I just have to. I haven't posted my first picture yet. Although I got on email saying that I had some new followers, and I thought, wow, great, to nothing, to just a name.
Yeah. Well, it might be me. I think I followed you.
Yes, and probably my wife. So
I mean we, because two hosers.
Yeah, the two hosers. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's.
So at some point, I'm going to learn how to use it.
Yeah,
maybe this weekend. This
pretty
weekend,
difficult.
I'm gonna learn it.
It's pretty difficult.
Okay.
It's not.
Okay.
So there's that. All right. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
Or maybe
on Instagram. And maybe your living room, but I won't be happy with what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, go to Jeff's living room and just have a loose knock on the door. Hey, Adam said I could check out your centerpiece.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have a go at that. You can find my stuff at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find all the links, the photos, the hashtags, everything you need to know, and the stuff we just talked about. So that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.